Amen. Take the word of God with me, if you will, and let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. The preacher this morning said to me, he goes, I heard you preaching at Metro. It sounded like you were shucking the corn. Do you know what that means, shucking the corn? Like taking the corns off of, that's the southern, that Cooper knows what that means. Amen. Cooper knows what shucking the corn is. I don't know where that comes from. I think it's from out in the farms where they take the corn off of the plants, and they, yeah, but they use that to illustrate preaching when you're really doing it powerful and with a lot of energy, I guess, you know. So I don't know, shucking the corn. Since I shucked the corn this morning, maybe we'll cook it now. All right, maybe we'll cook some corn now. And then I thought the same thing. The goal is that we pop some corn. Amen. Anybody else like some popcorn? You're all getting hungry now. I just lost everybody. It's okay. Stick with me. Hebrews chapter 10 this morning, and we look in verse 19. We're going to read in verse 19 down to verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. The Word of God says, if you'll read along, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an even evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you for just the great time we've had today already. It's been a joy to be together with one another, with the family of God. Lord, we thank you that you've made this possible to be together. I thank you for so great a salvation, as the word has said here, the new, because of the new and the living way, we now have this great opportunity to be a part of your family. I pray if there are any here today that don't know they are a part of your family, God, that today the message would be clear, the gospel would be given, that people might receive. And Lord, as you said, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I pray for that today. But for us that are your children, Lord, encourage our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful that promised. You are so faithful. Lord, keep us faithful. Well, thank you for this time now. Have your will and your way in this service, dear Lord, and we'll give you the glory for it all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. This is a passage of scripture that the Lord has used in my life, and there's two areas in which God has really just been hammering down on me, preacher. I mean, it's just things that God just keeps chipping away, I guess you can say, in my life. One of those is something the Lord is still using from the last time I was here on prayer. And the power of prayer, the church there near the passage, our theme for the year is praying always, Ephesians 6:18. And man, God has just been teaching me about prayer and what prayer can accomplish. And I'm so grateful for how the Lord, and I know it's still will never be, but I pray my prayer life will just increase more and more. Amen. As all of us ought to increase in our prayer life. But then there's this theme that God has just been working on me, and that is to be faithful. Amen. To be faithful. I'll tell you, you know, we're just flesh. We're just like everybody else, aren't we? And we get tired. Sometimes I think, I can't go on, Lord. These college students are about to kill me. Amen. And I love them, but they wear you out. Amen. That's right, Cooper. That was the right spot to say amen. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to serve him. But the work of the Lord is work, and it's wearisome. We had a preacher come recently and preach out of Galatians, be not weary in well-doing.
Right.
But there's a reality that if we're not to be, that we can be.
That's true.
And I tell you, sometimes I'm weary. And I know I get tired. I'm not Superman. I wish I was, but I'm not. But I'm so thankful for God's faithfulness.
Amen.
I'm so thankful for how faithful God is. And here, in parentheses, in verse 23, the author of Hebrews says, for he is faithful that promised.
Amen.
Let me just start there, because there's nowhere to go except from there, and that is God is faithful.
Amen.
God is absolutely faithful. He is perfect in all things, and he never fails.
Thank you.
Amen. I fail every day. I fail all the time. That's the one good thing I'm good at, is failing. Amen. You can all say amen. It's all right. We're all brothers and sisters of Christ. We're good at failing. But God never fails.
Amen.
Absolutely faithful. There's times when I want to do things and I can't do them. You know, I think of yesterday, a dear lady, sister in Christ, whose mother passed away. And I didn't know that her memorial service was yesterday. I wish I could have been there. I really do. But she just loved on me and says, it's okay, Pastor. Oh, I fail people. And I hate to fail people. But I realize it's a reality of life. But I'll tell you what, I can point people to somebody who never fails.
Thank you.
I can point people to the one who never fails me.
Amen.
Never has and never will. As Hebrews 13 says, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And because of that, he never fails. He is faithful that promised. He is faithful because he is God Almighty. He's God who created the world.
Amen.
He's God who created the heavens and the earth. And he is the one who will one day we will be with for eternity.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
Amen.
And we have a day that's coming, as it says there, as ye see the day approaching.
Right.
Amen. I was excited about the day in which we were going to come to Vancouver, British Columbia. Amen.
Amen.
And I was looking forward to the day as it approached.
Sure.
And your pastor was texting me and just encouraging. And I was just like, it's getting closer. My son's been begging to come. He's been just itching to come, you know. And he's able to be here. He was looking forward to it. I think he was packed 2 days before we left. Amen. Actually, mom had to help him, so I don't know. But, you know, we get in anticipation for things as the day gets closer. And guess what? If you don't realize it or not, and I'm not preaching on this, but tomorrow's gone. It's a day closer to when we see Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you, that's a wonderful truth.
One
we should never forget. And when we think about the faithfulness of God, you think about the fact that he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Mm.
That's a faithful saying.
Amen.
That's a faithful truth. But you know why he tarries? It's because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all will come to repentance. That's why he tarries. I'll tell you what, this life will soon be over. And we'll be in the presence of our Savior. But what are we to do in the meantime? What are we to do in this time in which we find ourselves? I submit to you that the Bible says that we ought to be found faithful.
Amen.
You know why we ought to be found faithful? Is because he is faithful. And he asks of us to be faithful. He asks us to endure. He asks us to work. He asks us to do the things he's asked us to do, not because he hates us, but because he loves us. And because there's a work to do in this world. Why? Because God weeps for the souls of people that are lost. The Bible says he grieves. He came to die that all might be saved.
Amen.
He came so that they could have a Savior and be reconciled unto himself. He did the work. Now he's given us the responsibility to go with the message.
Amen.
I love it. I took a couple tracks.
Right.
I'm going to hand them out today.
Amen.
And what can God do with the gospel? He can save souls.
Yes.
He's not willing that any should perish. And God wants people to be saved, and He is faithful. But He asks of us to be faithful. We come to this book of Hebrews, and I don't have time to go through it all, but very quickly we find the author of Hebrews was writing to these Judaizers who were, some of them were trying to go back into their old religion, trying to go back into the law, going back into all these things. And here he says, no! God, Jesus has provided better things.
Amen.
Amen! Jesus has provided better things. You once had to go to the temple with sacrifice. Amen. You don't need to do that anymore. Before, you used to have a high priest. Guess what? Jesus is our high priest.
Amen.
We have it better now than we've ever had it.
Yes.
But yet he comes now to the end of this book, and he's encouraging Christians, and he's saying to them, listen, be faithful. God's done all this to provide for us a better way and the ability to serve and to see more saved. And now he says to us, may we be found faithful. Faithful. I was thinking of an illustration of faithfulness. I don't think there's any better illustration of faithfulness than the sun rising every day and setting. I heard somebody say this morning, the only problem is you don't get to see the sun a lot in Vancouver because it's always covered up by clouds. Yeah, we see it every now. We saw it yesterday. It was beautiful. But you know what? Aren't you glad the sun rises and sets every day?
Amen.
What would it be like if tomorrow the sun just chose not to rise? It'd be darkness all day long.
Right.
The world would freak out, wouldn't they?
That's true.
Every day people say, I want to see a miracle of God. Guess what? The sun is a miracle of God.
That's true.
As it gives us life, life gives us warmth. It's an illustration of faithfulness because it's God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord for it.
Amen.
And I hope that every day you see that sun, even if you may not see it, you can still know it's coming through the clouds. Because I'll tell you what, if it wasn't there, we wouldn't even see the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
I love a song, It's Just Like His Great Love. Do you know that song?
Yes.
It's just like His great love. Why? Because when the clouds come and the difficulties of life, guess what? Jesus is always there. With His love. I pray that God will help me be faithful. I hope God will help you to be faithful. May God find us faithful. Why? Because He is faithful who is promised. I want to share three things this morning from this passage that God's Word tells us how we can be faithful. What does it mean for us to be faithful, and how can we be faithful? If you look with me here in the Scriptures, we find first the Bible says three times, let us... And he's referring to the church. He's referring to the body of Christ. And boy, God has a work to do through Anchor Baptist Church. God has a work to do through this body here into reaching this area of Burnaby and Vancouver and all the areas around here and around the world. And praise the Lord, you're doing that. But oh, God wants to do more. And He wants us to be faithful. He wants to find us faithful. And here He says here, let us. First, we see the first in verse 22. He says, let us draw near. Let us draw near. If we're going to be found faithful, then we've got to draw near to God. The book of James says, draw nigh unto me, and He will what? Draw nigh unto us. What a promise.
Yes.
What a promise that God says, if we'll draw near to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. And we've got to live a life of this. We've got to live a life striving to be closer and closer to the Lord. The Bible says that we ought to walk with the Lord. Are you close enough to the Lord today that it's as if you're walking with Him? Is it? Because that's what God wants. He wants of us to walk as if we're walking with Him through life. Not, oh, well, I got to talk to the Lord. It's been a couple days. I haven't talked to Him. No, it ought to be a day by day, step by step, moment by moment. Why? Because He lives in me and He
Amen.
Lives in you. Amen? And God says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And here we find that we ought to enter in. If you look, how is that even possible? Think about this. How is it that we can even get close to a God who created the world is without sin and we have the impossible ability to even get to? The author tells us how. Look what he says. How is this even possible? He says in verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
by a new and a living way, a better way. We now have this ability to come into the presence of God, just as the illustration of the Old Testament temple and tabernacle. They had the Holy of Holies, and they had a veil between that. And the high priest had to go in. He had to do certain things to be right with God. And if there was anything in his life that wasn't, guess what? He died. Why? Because the Holy of Holies was to be Holy of Holies. And without sin, they had to tie a rope to his leg in case they heard the bell quit ringing. They had to pull him out because they knew, uh-oh, he's in trouble. Well, we don't have to do that anymore. The author here says, we have a new and a living way. Guess what that new and living way is? The blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in just a few weeks, we celebrate Easter. We celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Good.
That's the power of God unto salvation. And that's what the world needs to realize.
Amen.
You know, the world just sees Jesus as a name, but he's much more than that. He's the new and the living way for us to come to God. He says we now are able to come into the Holy of Holies with boldness.
Amen.
I think about this for just a moment as I was thinking in my mind. If I was the high priest, talk about like nervous. Yeah, a little nervous. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they hook that rope up to your leg and put the bell on there, and you're just like, Oh, wait, there was that one thing. Go get it right. I don't know. Yeah, I'd just be nervous. I wouldn't be bold, I don't think. I think it'd be a very humbling experience to go into that place where you know it's life or death, but dependent upon whether you had done what you needed to be right. Now, I know what all that pictures Jesus, though. Because there's nothing a man can do to cleanse himself.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
It was illustrating the fact that you can't come into the presence of God with sin. But now we can come boldly into the throne of God. Why? Because he's reconciled us unto himself. He's made a new and a living way that now we have this ability to draw near to God. Think about that. I'll tell you what. I fail so miserably, but when I think about it, I'm like, why then don't I come into his presence in prayer like I ought to? Why don't I come into his presence in his word and let him reveal to me and speak to me through the Bible like I ought to? Because we now have access to him. We now have this ability to draw near to him. And this is something that was blowing the minds of these Jewish people, because they never had this opportunity before. They never had the, even their mind, they couldn't think, they had to go through another man to get to God. But now they could come themselves. You and I can come to God every day with boldness. You know what then the author says? Let us draw near. Let's take every advantage of this opportunity. Let us come before his presence with singing. Let us come before him in prayer. Let us come before him in power that he gives us to pray and to seek him and to know him, because he wants to be known. Oh, let us draw near. It says there, with a true heart. That's the problem, is this work is done in our hearts and we don't realize it, but our hearts are far from God. That's where we draw near to God, is in our hearts. And if we're not drawing near to God, then there's something else in our heart keeping us from that. What is it in our hearts today that is keeping us from knowing God? So many things. The world, the flesh, and the devil wants to put in our hearts to give us a passion for that have nothing to do with eternity. I see in Vancouver there's a passion for sports. Oh man, go out football. And I love rugby because I grew up in the islands, you know. And all the sports, and boy, people, you know where a lot of them are today? They're out loving sports. But I tell you what, sports won't give you a relationship with God.
Right.
So many things the world has put in their hearts, and they love the things of this world and relationships, but the only thing that will matter one day is our relationship with God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Relationship with God. He says, let us draw near. Look at verse, I want to finish here because this is so good. By a new and living way in verse 20, which he hath consecrated for us through the what? The veil. Oh, I love this part about the Easter story. Oh, my heart breaks when you read and understand the agony that Jesus went through for us. But oh, the victory when he died upon the cross and he said, it is finished. It's completed. I've come and finished the work that I came to do, to die for the sins of the world. Amen.
Amen.
And then the Bible says he gave up the ghost. And immediately it says that the veil in the temple rent in twain. This was not a man thing. This was a God thing. And he did it immediately to show you and I that we don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through religion. But Jesus is our way to come to God.
Amen. Thank you.
It's a new and a living way. And every day we now have that access. Oh, there's people that pay thousands of dollars to go to religious places around the world to try to have access to whatever they're trying to get. But we don't have to go somewhere. We can do it right now. You can do it beside your bed. You can do it in your living room. You can do it at your place of work. Anywhere and at any time you can come unto the Lord.
Amen.
Let us draw near. Because if not, we won't be found faithful. We'll fail. We'll quit. We'll give up. But if we'll draw near to God, he'll draw near to us.
Amen.
And we'll be able to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth
Amen.
Me.
Amen.
It's not his fault. It's our fault, folks. Because every day and every moment of the day, we have access now to him. And we can come to him as our high priest. And he is the high priest over the house of God. Amen. Thank the Lord for him. We see first that the way to be found faithful is to let us draw near to God. And may the Lord help us to do that. And it happens in our hearts. And guess what? When we draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, that's what we get. We get faith. We get assurance of faith. We have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What it means is we'll walk in victory. We'll walk in victory because thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. He's the one that gives us the victory to defeat our enemies and to walk in righteousness. It's only he that can do that. And if you're not, it shows that you're not drawing near and walking with the Lord. And myself too. My failures. May the Lord help us. But we can have this from our hearts as we walk in assurance of faith in our hearts. In the right way, not with the evilness of this world, but with the washing of his word and the washing of water. And praise the Lord, every day I need God to cleanse me. Amen.
Yes, we do.
We try to live in victory and in power as a Christian, but yet we allow sin in our life. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible to have the power and the presence of God have full control over us as long as we hold on to sin. And remember, that's a real problem. Guess why? Because we're good at failing. That's why in 1 John chapter 1, he says, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth, right? But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just.
Amen.
We ought to stay right with God so that we can draw near to God. And God can do great things in our life. Number two, you still with me?
Amen.
We're still Amen. Cooking that corn, aren't we?
Amen.
We're going to get to the popping part here soon. Amen.
Right.
We see not only do draw near, but then I love this verse 23. What does the Bible say? Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. Oh, how are we going to be faithful? By holding fast. Holding fast to what is the question?
The profession of our faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Woo. That's what we're to hold fast to. You know, people are holding on for dear life today. You know, when you ride in the roads of Vancouver, you need to hang on for dear life. Because you guys are crazy drivers. Amen? I'm just kidding. It's all right. But I get it. When you're here, you got to join them. Otherwise, you die. All right? I learned that. I had to pull out over here, and I was like, this ain't going to be a Montana turn. This is going to be a Vancouver turn. And I hit the gas, brother, and we went out. Amen. And I told those students, hold on. I heard a few of them fly over to the other seat, but it's okay. Right? You know, in life, we got to hold on to something. Because I'll tell you, the life's ready to take you for the ride. And you're going to fall off the ride if you ain't holding on to something. And then what do people do? They hold on to all the wrong things. They're holding on to the security that the world lies to them about and says, oh, it's your job that will get you through life.
Oh, we were out hunting out those tracks at the SkyTrain yesterday, and I said, here, there's hope. And the guy goes, I don't want hope, I want money. And I said, money won't, this is better than money. But you know what? It broke my heart because he was not joking. He was serious. And that's what people are holding on to today. Oh, if I could just get money, if I can get my life and to get the things. Listen, those things will all burn up one day.
Yes,
and they're here today and gone tomorrow. But God is faithful.
Amen.
Money's not faithful.
Right.
Relationships aren't faithful. People put their whole life upon it. You know, people think that, oh, if I just meet the right person and fall in love, everything in life will be wonderful. Yeah. It's a lie. It's a lie. Now, I love my wife, and God gave her to me. But at the same time, don't believe the lie of the flesh. I can't hold on to her, and she can't hold on to me. The longer we walk with the Lord, the only way it works is we hold on to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm thankful that we can encourage one another, and we can help one another, because when I'm down, she's there to lift me up, and when she's down, I'm there to lift her up. And God help us when we're both down, because he's there to lift us up. Amen? But I'm saying this is the only thing you can hold on to in life is God. Because
yes.
I fail. She fails. We all fail. But he never fails. What are you holding on to? He says, let us hold on to our profession of faith in Jesus.
Yes.
Are you living because you're holding on to the fact that Jesus is your Savior and your identity is him and in him alone? Because guess what? If it's in anything else, it will fail and falter. And it'll let you down. Guarantee it. Because that's what the world is good at. But he never fails. He never fails. Are you holding on to him because he is faithful? Because he is faithful that promised. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise, amen? You know what? When I married my wife, I told her I'd never leave her nor forsake her. And I failed at that because one time I had to stay on the mission field and she had to fly back to America by herself. Last year. You know, I love my wife and my kids so much, I want to be there every minute and all the time to meet all of their needs. And I have found, and it's not that I'm making excuses, but I found sometimes the harder I try, the more I fail at it. God's put me into situations where I know the only thing I can do is pray to him, and I know he's with them. One time my son had to get on an ambulance plane out of Kiribati to fly to Australia. Bennett and my wife had to send him off on a plane into a country they'd never been before. I couldn't go with him because he was having health issues. I said, Lord, you got to go with him. I want to go with him, but I can't. You know, the truth is we hold on to the wrong things in life. But if we hold on to the Lord, he is faithful. He is faithful that promised. And you can hold on to the Lord through life, through everything in life, because he is faithful. Not because we're faithful, but because he is faithful. And because he what? Promised. Thank God for that.
Amen.
Look at verse 24. We come to the third and final let us here in this passage. We've seen first, let us draw near. Why? Because we have a new and living way. We have access to God. Let us hold fast. Why? Because he's faithful. Amen?
Amen?
He's faithful. He is our Savior. He is our sustainer. He's our Heavenly Father, whereby we cry, Abba, Father.
Oh, he's faithful. And then lastly, he says, and let us consider one another. Oh, what a beautiful thing. As we consider first, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's all about what he's done and making it possible for us to have a relationship with him. But let me tell you something. Don't miss also the beauty of God's family and its purpose.
Amen.
Yeah. Because you know what? God came to this earth to die for the sins of the world. And he said, I will build my church.
Amen.
We are the church. We are the family of God. And those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, you are a part of his body. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says here that not only are we to draw near to God daily, and not only are we to hold fast to him in our profession of faith, but we are also to consider one another, to encourage one another. Look what it says. He says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and what? Good works. Now, it's interesting. If you study these words, when it speaks there concerning let us consider one another to provoke, that word provoke doesn't always have the great idea, but it has the idea of inciting to riot. Amen. But I like it. Amen. You want to know how to give your pastor a heart attack? All of you show up some Saturday to go soul winning. I could just see your face. Amen. I know you can't all do that, but I'm just saying, you know what? Whenever we do come together and we do this work, and it's a beautiful thing, the family of God.
Amen.
And just like we saw yesterday, more can be accomplished when we have more laborers.
Amen.
And more can get done when we come together. You know, the problem is the devil doesn't want us to come together and consider one another. No, he wants you to do this. Consider yourself first and then others. You know what the Bible says? The religious man came to Jesus. What did he say? What's the greatest commandment? Love God and love yourself. Right?
No.
Some of you are like, no, that's not what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible says, love God, love your others, and it doesn't even say love yourself.
Sure.
But we're good at loving ourselves.
Very true.
We're good at loving me first.
Very true.
We're good at putting me first in everything. It's about me. It's not about God. It's about me, not about others.
Mm.
And we find that that's because not a consideration of one another, but rather the opposite of it. Where instead, we don't want to help one another. We don't want to encourage one another. But instead, we discourage one another. And it's all because we're good at considering ourselves instead of others. He says here to provoke unto love and to good works. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, this is how ye will know. This is how the world will know ye are my disciples, that you have what?
Love
one for another. You know what? I have to say, sad truth is that a lot of churches are a bad witness. They don't have love for one another. May God forbid that we ever around our unlost family that may be lost, or sorry, our lost family, will we ever talk to them about our church and that there's somebody there we don't like. God forbid. No, our church ought to be a place that all we do is talk about the love that's here, because it is here.
Amen.
And it ought to be here. Because if we have God, then we have His love.
Amen.
And if we have His love, then we ought to love one another. And we ought to get along. And that's half my battle. You pray for me, because these college students, sometimes they don't love one another. Can you believe that? They're hard on each other. They like to tease and make fun. They tease and make fun of me. Can you believe that? And I'm like, hey, love me, brother. Don't hate me. Amen. I love you, Cooper. But you know what? We have to learn to love one another. And we live together all the time. We travel together. I say, one thing you're going to learn in the next 3 months is to learn to get along with people you may not like. Because you know what? It is hard sometimes. We're different people. And I love this church because you're a great example of how you can come together with all different international cultures and different things, and you can still all love one another because you're the love of Christ. My dad's church in the mission field in Fiji, because there's so many nationalities, International Baptist Church. That's a pretty good name, amen? And we ought to be able to get along. We've had a few Christians come out and say, no, we're just going to reach a certain group, and that's what our church will be. That's not the way God's love works.
No.
God's love isn't selective.
Right.
It's for everybody. Amen?
Yeah.
And we ought to be a demonstration of that within the church, that we love one another. It doesn't matter where you come from or what you eat. Besides, I like everything you guys eat. So that's good. Amen? We have a bond. And you know, it doesn't matter. You know, like, well, I don't like that. I'd never eat that kind of stuff. That's disgusting. That's your problem and your loss, amen? But you know what? People start getting, they're like, oh, that's crazy. No, we can love one another.
Right.
You know, the real problem why people don't love one another because they come from different things is because their identity is in where they're from
right.
and who they are rather than being in Christ.
Good.
If we make Him our identity, if we make him our Lord and our Savior, and we say, I want to draw near to God because now I can come to God, and I say, I want to hold fast to my profession of faith in him. I'm going to hold fast to the fact that he saved me and he's given me a life. Praise God for that. And I'm going to then not just think about myself, but the fact that I'm a child of God and you're a child of God. And we ought to consider one another and then to provoke one another to love and good works. You know what? We're not saved by good works, but we're saved unto good works. Yes. We're saved to get the gospel out. Yes. We're saved to love people and to share with them the good news that Jesus saves. Amen. Because if we don't, who will? Who will? And God help me. God help you. Because I want to be faithful.
Amen.
I want to be found faithful.
Amen.
I want to be found faithful of him one day when we reach heaven. Because the things of this world will pass away. But only what's done for Christ will last.
Right.
Only what we do for the Lord will last.
Yes.
And may God help us to hear those words one day when we get to heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Oh, I want to be found faithful. Do you want to be found faithful?
Yes.
Then are we walking with the Lord daily? Are we drawing near into his presence in our life and prayer, in our life and his word? Are we coming before his presence because he wants to us to? Well, it shouldn't be just every Sunday. It ought to be every day. Lord, let me draw near to you, dear God. Because you know what? You can try to get into the Prime Minister's office of Canada and try to let him listen to you and all your needs, but it's impossible. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get into anybody's house. Yeah. But guess what? This very day,
yes.
Tomorrow morning,
yes.
Because the veil's been ripped in twain,
amen.
We can come into his presence.
Amen.
And he says we can come boldly before his presence.
Good.
And to seek mercy in time of need, to seek his help. And we fail at it, but yet he wants us to. Oh, God, help us to draw near unto God every day. Help us to hold fast to our profession of faith. To our faith in him. Who are we? We're children of the King.
Amen.
We're children of the Lord. We're saved. We're a part of his family. That's who I am. That's who you are. And then let us consider one another. Let's come together and encourage one another. Oh, you know one thing we're good at too is pointing out all the faults in people. You know what? Give the faults to the Lord.
Yes.
And let's just love each other. Love the Lord. Love each other and let him use us. I don't know how much more simpler the Word of God could make it for us. But we just complicate it and we don't do it. Oh, God, help me. May God help all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Do we want to be faithful?
Yes, sir.
Do we want to be found faithful? The only way for that to happen is to know him who is faithful. And to connect with him, to live for him. And he will make us faithful. Let's pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a moment, I'll turn it over to Pastor Turner to close the invitation. I don't know your life or your heart today, but let me say something. If you don't know what that new and living way is to have access to God, let me tell you something. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to know that new and living way. Jesus Christ made a new way. It's not by works. It's not by religion, but it's by a relationship with Jesus Christ that you can be saved. If you're here today and you don't know that, I encourage you, talk to somebody. Know the Lord. Believe on him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Be saved today. And then if you're here today and you say, I know the Lord is my Savior. I praise the Lord for that. I praise God as an 8-year-old boy when I accepted God as my Savior. Jesus, the work that he did on the cross, his blood has cleansed me from all my sins. Thank God for that. And you say, that's me, Brother Deku, but boy, there's times when we're not faithful. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but the truth is that every one of us could raise our hand right now. I don't care where we are in life or what we're doing for the Lord. The one thing all of us are good at is failing. But, oh, Lord, help me
Let us. We can encourage one another. Let us, what? Draw near. We need to draw near more and more. Get rid of the things of this world and put him in his rightful place. Let us hold fast to our profession. Hold on to Christ. I don't know what you may be going through or what you're facing, but no one can help you except Jesus. He is faithful that promised. May God help us to hold on to him. And then let us consider one another. Oh, let's consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and your way in this invitation. Help me, dear God. I want to be faithful. Help us to be found faithful. Help us to draw near every day. Hold fast. Consider one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, Lord. Oh, but help us to come together as we see the day approaching. Lord, help us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's message has clearly been delivered. I'm thankful for the word of God and the messenger that God brought us today. May we look with meditation and think with meditation on this, not just now, but throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the rest of our life. I don't know everyone's heart this morning. I know God does. And I think probably we know our hearts to a degree. I wonder if there's someone here that's not saved. If you died right now, if you died tomorrow at 9 a.m., would you be in heaven? Would you be in hell? Or don't you know? I'm glad as well. As a 9-year-old boy, the gospel was given and I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and away from everything else that I thought might save me. But I put my faith in Jesus 42 years ago, this month actually, April. And God has been faithful. God will always be faithful. You might be a teenager. You might be an adult here today, and you don't know Christ, you're not saved. I pray that you will realize that to die without Christ is eternal separation from God. You will never be able to be near to anything of righteousness, holiness, which would be heaven. Please don't delay. Dear Christian, don't delay on applying these truths. By the grace of God, and by the way, we need the grace of God to do all of this. And we do it not because we want someone to pat us on the back, but as our theme this year says, we want God to be given the glory. Let's stand together, please, if you're able to. The pianist will begin to play. If you're able to and you want to come and pray, now's the time. Would you come? God spoke to your heart. You need to come and talk to the Lord about something. Would you come? If you're not saved, would you come? Say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Would you come? Let the Lord speak to your heart. He is worthy.